Okay, let's begin our discussion of Parshas Vayeshev, Tavshin Pei Hei, and we will have a little bit about Hanukkah also as well, Be'er Hashem, towards the end. But let's get right into the crux, and that is Mechiras Yosef. Right, we know this, the tragic story of Yosef HaTzadik being sold, and the psukim themselves are a little bit not clear. And we have to try to understand that. We mentioned in the past the Shita of the Rashbam, which we will review in source number two. But first we'll see the source number one, the Arachayim. First let's read the Psukim. First let's read the Psukim as is discussed. So the brothers, Yosef goes out, and what they do? Vayikachu, vayashlichu, oso abora, vahabar reik ein bo mayim. There's no water. Chazal drasha. Vayeshvu lechal lechem. They sit down to eat bread. They lift up their eyes and they see Vine Archos Yishma'elim Ba Migilan. They see a caravan of Yishma'elim, Ishmaelites. Ugmalayam no sim nochot srivalot, and they have plenty of spices. Holchim lohri Mitzrayim. So the Archos Yishma'elim are going down to Mitzrayim with their spices. Vayomer Yudalecha, my bad second Argos Achino, why should we kill our brother? Lechuv and Nimkarenu Yishma'elim. Let's sell him to the Yishma'elim. Viadenu Altibo, Kiachinu Visarenu Hu. And the brothers list him. Fine. The next pasuk we would expect, he was sold to the Ishmaelim. But what do we have? Vayavru anashim midyanim socharim. All of a sudden there's midyanim there. Vayimshechu vayalu as Yosef minabor. And they picked Yosef up from the pit. Vayimkeru as Yosef vayishmaelim. And they sold Yosef to the Ishmaelim. What are the midyanim doing here? The brothers had Yosef in the pit. And then they see the Yishmaelim, and then these Midyanim come. What's going on? Vayaviyu as Yosef Mitzrayim, and they sell him to the Yishmaelim, and they bring Yosef to Mitzrayim. Vayishu Ruvain, the Ruvain came back, and to the bar, and he wasn't there, and then we have the whole story of he tore his clothing, and they told Yaakov, and then the last pasuk in the parak, Vahamidanim, there they are again. Vahamidanim machro sol Mitzrayim. But I thought the Yishmaelim had him. So what are the Midyanim doing here? So at first, like maybe let's review what we've done 10 years ago, and then we'll see the new, the Arachayim. So we'll start with source number two. Source number two, the Rashbam tells us, if you look very, very carefully, the Rashbam says, the brothers never actively sold Yosef. Right? I think we did at some point over the past 16 years, the Rashbam's comment at the beginning of Vayeshev. That's where the Rashbam says, I had conversations with my grandfather, Rashi, and he admitted to me that if he would have more time and he wasn't so old, he would rewrite his commentary on Chumash closer to Pshuto Shel Mikra. That's where the Rashbam is a very close Pashtun. So the Rashbam says here, that if you look closely at the Psukim, it says that the brothers sat down to eat, they saw Archos Yishma'elim, and they said, let's sell him. But the brothers were away from the pit, according to the Rashbam. And while they were away, a different people came. The Midyanim came. And they took Vaya'alu, Vayimshechu, Vaya'alu is going on, the Midyanim. Look at Pasuk Chavches. Vayimkeres Yosef. And they, the Midyanim, sold Yosef to the Ishmaelim. And then they go to the pit and they can't realize what happened to him. So that's how the Rashbam reads the Pesukim. And even though, well, let's read it, I guess. Source number two. B'toch shahayu yoshvim le'echo lechem. While they were sitting, v'rechokim hayu ksas min habor, and they were a little far from the pit. Levilti achol al adam, but they could have a big suda right next to their brother. Imagine your brother screaming in the pit, help, help! And you're going to sit in. They weren't so. You know, they have to be away so we don't hear him crying. U'mamtinin hayu l'ishmaelim shero, and they were waiting for the Ishmaelim to come close. V'kodam sheba'u hayishmaelim, before the Yishma'elim came, Avru Anashim Midyanim Acherim Derakshab. A different caravan came by close to the pit. V'ra'uhu Bibar Umashruhu. And they saw Yosef in the pit, they pulled him out. Umachru Amidyanim Lishma'elim. V'yeshlomar Shoachim Lo Yadu. And the brothers didn't even know what happened. They came back to the pit and he was not there. This also might explain when they came to Mitzrayim, and they kept seeing all of these signs that, like, come on, don't you think this might be Yosef? He sat them in order, but they didn't get it. Maybe they had no idea that he was in Mitzrayim. again, according to this pshat, again, according to different mamarim, they went into different entrances to Mitzrayim to try to find him. But according to this pshat, yesh lo, what it says later on, v'abish akasuv, it says, asher machartem otzi Mitzrayim. It says that you sold me. So yesh lo mar shehagramas ma'aseihem siya b'mechiraso. Their actions caused him to be sold. Zeh nirali lefi omek derak pshuto shel mikra. That's what I think says the Rashbam is the simplest reading of the text. Kiva ya'avru anashim midyanim mashmai de mikra. The midyanim happened to pass by there. The hemachru li shmeilim. The av maslomar v'yikra says li shmeilim. Ki achiv avkin zorach lomar v'chu. Okay. But now let's see the Arachayim HaKadosh, who has a different shot. The ya'avru anashim midyanim. You're right. One time we're assuming that they're the same, even though the nekudos, first it says midyanim socharim, and then later on it says midanim. Well, we're going to put them together. So what did Chazal say? What did Chazal say? These midanim, he was sold a bunch of times. That's what Rashi quotes Chazal. That he was sold to various different caravans. Right? And that's what Rashi quotes, vayavra anashim midyanim, zuhi shiyara acheres, Rashi says. A different caravan, vodiach ha'kasuv, shenimkar pa'amim harbe. Right? Vayimshechu b'nei Yaakov as Yosef ben Abar. Right? Rashi is going against what his grandson said. No, b'nei Yaakov is the Vayimshechu. Okay, but he sold a lot of times. Says the Arachayim HaKadosh. Sorach Ladas, lama hiskir avaras anashim midyanim. Acher shelo haya hamecher el Yishmaelim. What did the midyanim have to do it? They sold them to the Yishmaelim. Vayibruz Yosef l'Yishmaelim. The Yishmaelim were the ones that were the main buyers. So what do the Midyanim have to do with anything? If you take out that pasuk, take out that phrase, it says, the brother sold Yosef to the Yishmaelim. What are the Midyanim doing? Later on it says, the Midyanim, or the Midyan, right? They were the ones that sold it to Mitzrayim. So they were involved. They were sold to the Ishmaelim, and the Midyanim sold them to Mitzrayim. Odom Rakasuv, the Yosef were on Mitzrayim, Avekinia Potifar Miyad, Yishmaelim. The beginning of the later parak. Yosef went out to Mitzrayim, and he was bought from the Yishmaelim. One second, I thought the Midyanim. It says the Midyanim sold him, right? The end of this parak, Lamed Zayin, Vamidanim Machro sold Mitzrayim. The Midyanim sold him down to Mitzrayim. And later on, parak Lamed Tes Pasuk Aleph, it says that the Yishmaelim, right? So it's what's going on here? Who sold him to Mitzrayim? Who was the last step? Chazalam Umlamishinim Kamachiris Arbi, Vain Misyashrim Pashte Aksuvim Bazev Vahave. Right? That doesn't really fit. I'd rather come up with a closer reading. I'm shot of the psukim. Says the Arachayim, second to last line. The anachon hu, ki pirish shel dvarim hu, ki mitchila hodia hakasav, vine erchos Yishmaelim. The Yishmaelim were coming by. And Yehuda says, l'chuvin ikar l'Yishmaelim. What does the pasuk say right after that? They saw the Yishmaelim, and they said, let's sell him to the Yishmaelim. It says, the Yishmaelim had spices. So, Chazal say, that details to teach us that even though he was a bunch of Arabs, it smelled good, so Yosef would realize that Hashem is with him. Maybe there's another reason. Says the Arachayim, why it says that the load was filled with spices. V'lios, sh'orchos Yishmaelim, top left column. Orchos Yishmaelim zu einam socharim lehitager b'chol min v'kinyin. The Yishmaelim were not experts, and they didn't do business with everything. They were only spice guys. That's what they were expert in. That's what they did. That's what they bought and sold. But Masha Yenosim. The Amos Yeshikim was Yosef. Right? They wouldn't be interested in a slave. They wouldn't know how much to buy him for. They wouldn't know all the details. They wouldn't know the fine print on the documents. Because that wasn't their business. Asha Okin Hizman Hashem Anashim Midyanim socharim. Pirish. These Midyanim were like middlemen in business. They knew everything. Pirish. Shemakirim kol min schora. Asher tizdami leknosel arvacha. They weren't the Baal HaMeya, but they were the Baal HaDeya. Right? They didn't have the assets. That was the Ishmaelim, had the assets. But the Midianim were the ones that got things done. They were the middle guys that came up with prices and agreements. V'teida, ki asocher eino balakis, ela bal hayidia. Often the merchant is not the investor. The akar balakis, yikne alpiv, kamoshi yaduazo, pinos tulos ba'olam. Like, you know, like you go to an investment guy, advisor, and you based on what he says. So these Midianim or Midianim, they were the investment advisors that traveled along in the deserts. So it happened, the Ishmaelim were passing by, but the Ishmaelim wouldn't have bought Yosef. Hashkacha needed Yosef to be bought and go down, so to speak. So what happened? Anashim Midianim had to be passing by, and they helped out. Ube'emsoes elu hasocharim nigmar hadavar shalamechal Ishmaelim. They were the ones that helped the sale. V'hu shamar akasav. Vayavru anashim midyanim socharim. The socharim, these guys happened to walk by. Ube'emsa usam machriyosu l'shmeilim. Through them, the brothers sold to the Ishmaelim. Kizulasam lo ha'ishmaelim konim. The Ishmaelim wouldn't have bought had it not been for them. V'hine. Kivan shebein shneim ha'midyanim ha'ishmaelim ha'yamecher. Since, well, they both had a part in the sale. The Ishmaelim must have given the money and the goods, and the Midianim made it happen. So harayish l'Midianim chelek berevach litzad kihem akonim uli Ishmaelim chelek berevach litzad kihem balekisim. So they each get credit. As your nasnu kama kesef v'lazel amar. That's why it says the Midianim achros al mitzrayim. The Midianim sold to Israel, because again, when they got to Mitzrayim, they needed the middle guys. That's how the Torah could say both, that the Midianim sold him and the Yishmaelim sold him. Because it was the Yishmaelim's money, and Yosef belonged to the Yishmaelim. That's who he belonged to. But the Midianim were the ones that were expert. They were the ones that gave. And that's why it says, "Vozeh Amar Vegneo Potifar Miad Yishmaelim." Potifar bought Yosef from the Yishmaelim. Dik Lomer Miad Ki Biyadam Haya. Shall we do Shema? They were in charge. They were the ones that brought Avei Mitzias Lagnosa Potifar Zulat Bashaya Biyado. So that's why it's the Yishmaelim and the Midianim. It says the Arachayim Ubazeh skipping Nisyashvo Ksuvim Kafter Vaferach. The Pesukim will fit in beautifully. V'divrei Razal, she'amru, she'nivka pomerabos, zederach drash. Right? You could say that also, but you don't need to say that. Now you read the psukim, it says clearly. It says, let's tell them to the Ishmaelim. Anashim Midianim had to be walking by, and they were the ones that helped out. The brothers took him out, they sold him to the Ishmaelim for 20 kesef. Now, it's stuck there because they were the ones that came up with the price and made the deal happen. Amazing, and that helps with all the psukim. Okay, we continue. Getting back to the same story. So the brothers first wanted to kill him. And Reuven says, don't. Lo nakenu nefesh. Let's throw him in the pit. And then Yehuda says, ma betza. V'yomu Yehuda lecha. Ma betza kinaru gesachinu. V'chisinu es damo. What profit? Ma betza. Rashi quotes, ma mamon kitargumo. Right? Unkelis. Ma mono. What profit? What money are we going to get out of it? Ma betza. It's interesting. We did, years ago, we did a Beis HaLevi, but I found this year, kimat, the same idea as in the Sfarno. Beis HaLevi doesn't quote the Sfarno. But it's kimat the same idea. Ma betza. To giving pshat to Yehuda's words. Well, what good is it to kill our brother? Ma betza. What does that mean, ma betza? Explains the Beis HaLevi, and then we'll see the Sfarno. Ha'inyan. Dine geder ha'onesh al eza maisa she'avol shnei ofanim. What's the reason for a punishment? What could be a reason that the brothers wanted to take something out on Yosef? Or any in general, an onesh. O begeder nekama, l'masha asal arami kodem. Either a punishment for what was. There was an evil act done. So that is deserving of punishment. That's one reason. V'zeh yalach le'ozos gam b'seisu b'tzina. If the reason for a punishment is just to punish the act that was done, that could be done in private. That doesn't need public knowledge. Because revenge and is taken, or just the punishment is administered. Va'ofan ha'sheniyu, but what might be the second reason? Not just for this person, but to teach others not to do like what this person did. Ligdar geder bifnei osei avla. Laval yezidun achirim la'asos kemasav. Right, the other reason is to teach others so that nobody else does what this person does. Kemamar akasav, like the Pasuk says, by four different halachos, Betzorah Mora, Zachim Amre, Edom Zolman, V'nisharim yishmu v'yiro, v'lo yizidun od. Those that are left will hear, will see, and they won't follow in this step. And that, obviously, has to be done in public. The first reason that Nekama would be taken just to punish, that can be done in private. But the teaching will be done in public. So, v'imu ba'ofan zeh, tzorchli asos dafka b'farhesya, that's dafka needs to be in public. U'bepumbi, l'man yedu akol, so everybody knows me, ha'onesh she'igi elo amasav, from the punishment. V'hine, so says the Beis Halevi, now we understand Yehuda's words. Well, ma betza, we're not going to gain anything. Why? V'hine geder nekama, enaroi lasos ish ba'achiv. Reason number one, that's not appropriate for a brother. For a brother to take punishment like that, dafilu im achiv chata negdo, become akam roi limcholo. It's not appropriate for us just to be vengeful to our brother. We should be mochel. V'al kol psham t'chasa ava. So if reason number one, so their conscience wouldn't let them do it. But if it's number two, avlam yavo geder siyag v'geder, yitachin gam be'echav achrei shutikin ha'olam. But if the reason is I could justify it by saying the public needs to see this so that nobody follows and copies his actions, so that even to a brother, the Adaraba, Od Yischazik HaGeder, Vasyag Yoser, Im Yurathir, then maybe it's even better. The closer you are, Mil Hashem Eli, Rebbe Levi by the Egel, even the brothers, Tzgam Lechav Lo Nasa Panim. So, but that would require public. So the only way the brothers would be able to justify to themselves is if they would publicize, which they weren't going to do. V'zeo shamar lam Yehuda, that's what Yehuda meant. Ma betza kinaro gesachinu v'chisinu es damo. Omar, t'shnei ha'ofanim lo shayakan. Both ways are not relevant here. Acher shachinu b'sareinu hu. He's our brother. Kinaro gesachinu. He's our brother. So reason number one is not appropriate. The chisinu as damo, reason number two is not appropriate. Because we're going to have to cover it up. The chisinu. The lo shayach la'anisha begeder nekama. Number one. The gam, kivich and estarek balkarcha lachasos hadavar. We're going to have to cover la'alimo and to hide it. Shalo yodeya la'achirim. Hare eim bazeh shum siyach begeder klal. The king of Paul Rick, it's just empty. We're not going to be narviach either reason. And therefore, we're not going to, doesn't pay for us to do it. But this was some type of, remember the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Botseya Betza Nireh, Botseya Birech Neitz Hashem. One of the pshatim is that anyone who praises Yehuda is not looked on fondly. Because Yehuda had a chance here to save him, right? They would have all looked, except for Yishwecha, whatever Yehuda would have said, would have been listened to by the brothers. Reuven did it half. He saved, and then Yehuda. Anyway, I think we've noted in the past, throughout the second half of Sefer Bereishis, there's a tug of war between Reuven and Yehuda. They're basically the Shvatim that act, that talk. Shimon and Levi did what they did. But Reuven and Yehuda, the two leaders, right, Reuven and Yehuda are the ones that talk to Yaakov in Parshas Miketz, what to do with Binyamin, right? And here, Yehuda, it's interesting to look at throughout all of the stories, Reuven's actions and Yehuda's actions. Okay. A Medrash. You look at the Zera Shimshon. I'm sorry. The Sfarno basically has the same idea a couple hundred years before the Beis Halevi. In source four. Ma betza ma toeles. Ki amna ma nekama techavin lechem mishtayim. The kama could have one of two purposes. Im l'shalim l'ose hara, punishment for the action. But if we do that, that's going to hurt us too. Ki yichav libeinu amisaso, valach zari yoseinu nigdo. We can't do it. The brothers wouldn't kill him. The brothers wouldn't. And if it's to scare others and put them in awe, right, we have to cover. So basically the same idea that the Beis Halevi had a couple hundred years ago before him. Okay, back to the Zerah Shimshon. Says the Zerah Shimshon, remember, whenever we learn his Torah, no children, so we are his Zerah. Zerah Shimshon. There's a Medrash on the Parsha. The Medrash says, Vayeshvu lechol lechem. So the brothers sat down to eat bread. Rabbi Yahua bar Zeira Amar, Aveirasan shel Shvatim, Zechura hila olam, Tikva hila olam. It is always remembered, and it is the eternal hope. Zechura hila olam, it's always remembered, and it represents hope. Those sound like opposites. Tzarech Iyun, as the Zerah Shimshon. If it's always remembered, the sin will never be forgotten. Okay, that's negative. Yet, it represents hope. Tikvahi. Tikvahi la'olam. How do you put those two together? So he quotes the Shach. The Shach has a commentary on the Torah. The Shach is known for his commentary on Shulchan Aruch. But there's also the Shach on the Torah. So he quotes the Shach. Shamati. He quotes a Kabbalistic idea. Shamati shemechiras Yosef ho'ila legalios. Mechiras Yosef led to all future exiles. So we usually think of that as a negative. Think of it as a negative. But there's always, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, something positive in the negative. I don't know if we've mentioned in the past, we know that up until last week's parsha, we were in the parshias of the Avos. And now we are the parshias of the Shvatim. Does Maisa Avos Simon Labanim still apply? Are we still in the Maisa Avos because we're in Sefer Bereishis? Or now we're in the Simon Labanim? Because it's the Shvatim, the children. So the Shvatim are kind of transitionary. Especially Yosef. Right? I forgot where I heard. It says, mentions Yosef and the brothers at the end of Bereishis, right, in Vayechi, that they died, and then it repeats them in the beginning of Shmos. Because the Shvatim were these transitionary figures. They were the link between Avos and Nation. The Shvatim were a little bit in the middle. So Mechiras Yosef laid the groundwork for all future Golios, but it allowed for future Golios. What does that mean? She'el Mali Kane, says the Shach, Were it not for Yosef's galus, Hayashofe Chamaso, Babayas Risha, Bayasheni Shel Yisrael, Yuchas V'Shalom Kalim. Whoa. Remember the Medrash? Rashi and Tosfos quote this Medrash in Kiddushin. Medrash says, that up until the moment of Churban Beis HaMikdash, nobody knew whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu would punish those who were really worthy of punishment, that means us, or would he take a collateral? Would he take a security and in that security reflect that he will never forsake us? And even if we sin, the sticks and the stones of the Beis HaMikdash will burn, but our connection to him will be eternal. Says the Shach, Bechiras Yosef is what laid the groundwork. That first galus laid the groundwork for all future galios. And that Hashem, instead of punishing us, sent us into galus. Aval kashagala Yosef, v'galsa shechina, Knesset Yisrael imo. Hashem, as we know, imo anochi b'tzara, shechinta b'galusa, wherever the Jews are, the shechina follows. The Yosef hurad mitzraima, is Gematria, the same Gematria, 385, Gematria Shechina. Mitzrayim and Shechina, the Shechina went with Yosef. And that was the model that for all future Galios that we were going to have to suffer, Hashem was going to go with us. Hergala Hashechina Legalos. That's the language of the Shach. The Shechina got used to Galos, so to speak. Ukshachat b'ayis risha, v'sheini kala chamaso b'galos, shenemar shalach me'al, Panai. Wow. So that says the Zerah Shimshon now. That's the Medrash. Zechura
and tikva. Zechur, it was a sin, and we're still paying for it. And the Sarugi Malchus are connected to the Shvatim. So it's Zechura, and that's the source of such sin as chinam, but it's also tikva. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu let us live and took his anger out on the sticks and the rocks. But from another point, it's tikva. The Shechinas went, and the Shechinas is going to come back, and we're going to come back as well. Okay. Moving right along. I don't think we ever did this Ramban. The Ramban on Yehuda and Tamar. So the Pasuk tells us, as we know, the tragic stories. Clothing plays a major role in all the stories of this parsha. Right? Clothing, obviously, Ksonas Pasim. Yehuda's clothing here. The clothing he gives his staff. Yosef, later on, leaves his beged with Eishes Potiphar. Clothing plays an interesting role throughout the parsha. But what does the pasuk say? After Er and Onan, so what is it? Yehuda Latamar. But before that. So Yehuda takes an Isha for Er Bechoro, and Er is killed. Her. That is what Yehuda describes. Right? Go, what does Uncle say? What's the translation of Yibum? Yabim. Can't translate Yibum. That's just Yibum. And we know what Yibum means. It means some type of brotherly, again, we know what Yibum is now. If the brother dies without children, then the brother-in-law takes the wife. So the Ramban says, oh, interesting. So we have the concept of Yibum way before the Torah was given. What does that show us? And this doesn't sound like it was B'Torah's mitzvah. Right? The Chazal said that it almost did the mitzvahs before the Torah was given. But none of those are recorded in the Torah. A couple here and there. Meiser and Bris Milah. But generally, that's a Chazal, Torah Sheva'al Peh. So this Yibum, this isn't done as Yibum. And also, this is not the Yibum that we know. So it says the Ramban, source number 6. Haben Yikar al Shem Hames. Lashon Rashi. That's what it means, Yibum. Mi Hakim Zera Lachicha. Bring up the seed of your brother. The child will be called by the name of the brother. V'rashi v'eitza emes. Ki b'mitzvah Torah demar gamki. Yokum al Shem Achiv Hames. V'imach HaShmo B'Yisrael. V'ena Yavam Mitzuve Likro Libino K'Shem Achiv Hames. Right, the pashup shot of this pasuk says the Ramban is not true. There's no mitzvah to call the child after the dead brother. Literally. V'yamar b'boaz. Right, by Boaz. V'gam esrusa mo'aviyah. Kanisi li'isha lahakim shema meis al nachlaso. And he was called Oved. He wasn't called Machlon. So he didn't name him. So what does it mean that, you know, give somebody a name? V'yosh amar v'yida onaki lo yezara. So skipping a little bit, says the Ramban. Ava, line 7, 8. Ava le'inyan sod gadol misodos ha-Torah betoldos ha-Adam. There's a tremendous secret here, says the Ramban. Tremendous secret here. V'nikar hu le'ene haro'im. And it's visible to those with spiritual eyes. Those that Hashem gave eyes to see and ears to hear. Even the wise men before the Torah recognized in the spiritual realm, metaphysical, the concept of Yibum. The concept of if a man dies without children, to have a relative to step into his shoes. And the brother, even more than any others. And after that, any relative, right? In the story, Boaz and Rus, it was a more distant relative. Anyone who's in the family. We don't know says the Ramban, whether this was a minog that existed before Yehuda. Ubreishas Rabba Amru, ki Yehuda hischla mitzvas yivin tchila. The Medrash says that Yehuda started it. He was the one that put this on the map. That Yibum is something powerful in the metaphysical world. Kikasher Kibel has sold me avosav, Nizar is lakim avso. Yehuda realized it, and that's why he wanted to do it. V'chasher basa ha-Torah, v'asra eishas ksas ha-krovim. And even once the Torah was given, and we have all of these arayos, the Torah left open the most powerful form of Yibum. The Torah didn't answer that. All the other relatives are out for Arayah's purposes. But for the brother, Ratzak HaKadosh Baruch Hu lahatir Isher Eishas Achmodei Yibum. Hashem wanted to leave it out. V'lo Ratza Sheitcha Mipad of Isher Eishas Achi Ha'av V'Haben Vizulasa. Not the others. The others are less potent. But the brother is the most potent. Ki Ba'ach Hergal Adavar V'To'elas Krova V'lo Bohem. That's the most powerful. And there are those throughout history that did it with other relatives. So there's major metaphysical, spiritual powers to this type of arrangement. Again, it's not done bizman hazeh. Ashkenazim, for sure, don't do it. Svardim is questionable. That was where Rav Ovadia has a big tshuva a couple of decades ago, where Svardim can do Yibum, but at least in terms of Ashkenazim, it is not done. But in terms of the metaphysical power that exists, even though it's not done, Lamaisa. Fine, that's the Ramban. There is a Ksav HaKabbalah that has a halachic discussion on this relating to the Yibum that is done here. And you'll see what his final answer is in a few steps. But Rav Mecklenburg here in the Ksav HaKabbalah quotes the Ramban, and first he quotes Rashi. Right, what is Rashi? Rashi's commenting on, after Onan dies, Yehuda says to Tamar, Shvi Amana Beis Avich, Achi Yigdal Shela Bani. Why don't you wait until Shela gets older, and then we'll arrange something. But Rashi quotes that he didn't really mean it. Right, Rashi quotes that he was just pushing her off. He wasn't trying to be serious with her, that he didn't have any plans to marry her off. Right? But just where's the Lashon? He quotes the Ksav HaKabbalah quotes it. Docha Haya Osa Bakash. Shlohaya Badaita Lasiela. He was just pushing her off. He had no intention to give her the third son. So the Ramban, first he quotes this is a different Ramban, not the one we did in source number 6. The Ramban wonders about Rashi. Why did he have to say that Docha Bakash? Why didn't he just tell her the truth? There's a halacha. There's a chazaka. And chazaka might be even pre-Torah. There's a halachic assumption. A woman who has two husbands that were died, it's called a katlanis. If for no other reason. Meaning if a person has a heart condition, a person has an accident, nothing to do with a woman. But in the days of old especially, we're not saying this lamaisa at all. We're just saying then, if you look at Shulchan Aruch, right, katlanis halacha is twice is a chazaka, and therefore, why didn't you just say, "I'm sorry, but she can't marry. You can't marry my third." The asura l'sheila, kamosha amar b'nisuin, treishim the amik chazaka davi katlanis. So why did he just say that was the halacha? V'racho kushal shama Yehuda kiban avchatu. It's hard to think that Yehuda didn't know that his sons were sinners. Says the Ksav HaKabbalah. I'm sorry, this is still the Ramban talking. V'hanachon, shahaya shela roi liyibum, avala ratzav v'liyabim osav odenu nar. Yehuda maybe wanted his son to get older so he could teach him not to be a sinner like the other sons. Okay, fine. Says the Ksav HaKabbalah in the name of the Nodabi Yehuda. Of course the Nodabi Yehuda here and says, wait a minute. We have an idea called a chazaka of katlanis. Usher with two husbands, right? If a woman's two husbands die, she can't marry the third one. So the Nodabi Yehuda wonders on line 11. Va'omer ani, is that even b'maka mitzvah? Don't we have a principle called Shomer mitzvah lo yeda davara? Shomer mitzvah, don't worry, it's kind of like Shluchei mitzvah in an Izokin. So, Shomer Mitzvah. Umenatei Mal Rashi. Why does Rashi say, Doch Haisa Bakash? Atu Bosha Yehuda Lahoros Hadid Shasur Linasi Shikatlanis? Why didn't Yehuda want to say? You know why? Because Yibam's a mitzvah. And therefore it was an usur. If she's doing a mitzvah, so then you would have the principle of Shomer Mitzvah, Lo Yeda Davara. Ube'emes Hori Yehuda Bezeka Alacha. The who? The Afagav. Here's the lumpness of the Noda Yehuda. Afagav. Even though, usually, the Yavam Katan Mutter Liyabim, usually, a Yavam Katan, again, this is all theoretical in the days of the Gemara, when people got married much younger. A 10-year-old really could do Yibam. An 11-year-old, 12-year-old could do Yibam. Mikol Makom, so that's an irregular. We assume, says the Gemara, that this child is going to grow up to be a normal, healthy, potent child to be able to have children. One doesn't have to be choshesh, that this child will be a saris, an impotent, who then there's no mitzvah of yibum. Says the Noda Yehuda, usually that's true, because you rely on the rov. But here, says the Noda Yehuda, you don't rely on the rov, b'makom sakana. And yes, shomer, if it's just a question of maybe Dilma Yimsa Saris, so then you don't have to worry about that. Because, you know, we can rely on the rov. But if there's a danger, so then, says the Noda Yehuda, Loaz Lina Basaruba, the Chamira Sakanta Miyisura, and therefore, there might not be a mitzvah of Yibum, and that's why Yehuda didn't allow it. And that's why Yehuda didn't say that there's a mitzvah of Yibum. No, it wouldn't have been a mitzvah of Yibum, because you can't do the mitzvah of Yibum, because you would have to rely on a rov, which is not good enough for cases of sakana. This is a lumdus. Okay, says the Ksava Kabbalah. This is what we wanted to get to, based on the Rabban that we said earlier. Ksava Kabbalah says, you talk about Shomer Mitzvah and Sakana, even if the Avos might have done quote-unquote mitzvos before, and even if there was a concept of Yibum before, that wasn't a mitzvah in the sense that we know mitzvos. The concept of Shomer Mitzvah, it never arises when we fulfill a mitzvah. Before Matan Torah? Right? That's a nice thing. Maybe it has power in Shamayim. But says the Ksava Kabbalah, as we've quoted in the past, you can't compare and discuss in the same sentence our mitzvos and the Avos' mitzvos. Says the Ksava Kabbalah, the end of line 28. Umeata. Gam kasher yigdal shela, ain't got mitzvahs yibum. There's no yibum, I should know marbo shomer mitzvah. There's no yibum. I don't understand the whole discussion of the Noda Yehuda. Maybe the mitzvah will protect. You don't have that power except after Matan Torah. Ki ein lahashros ha-mitzvos, shoyim mekaimim kodem Matan Torah, ima mitzvah shachar nisinasa. You can't compare the two. He hasn't quoted, but remember the Rambam? The Pirush Mishnayos and Chulin Adaf Kuf, where he says, "Ein lemeidim ha'achronos mitzvos chayavos va'kodmos einam rak mitzvos ritzonios or ritzinios voluntary kiloyim mitzuvim aleihem." It wasn't even a time where it's not even like a woman doing a mitzvah. She's on grama. At least there, she lives in the time where it is a mitzvah mechuyeves. She's just not mechuyev. But the avos, that didn't have the power of Shomer Mitzvah, Lo Yeda Davara, says the Noda Yehuda, says the Ksava Kabbalah, and therefore the whole discussion doesn't get off the ground. So, and this is why the Ramban says, Docha Bakash V'chulu. And the Ramban didn't explain it to Tamar in that way. Okay, a little bit of Lumdus and Yisod about pre and post Matan Torah. Now let's get to two thoughts in Yonei Chanukah. In Yonei Chanukah. One more lumdus and one more hashkafish, hashkafati. If you look here, Rabbi Simon just came out with the new Sefer on Chanukah in the Imrei Baruch in source number 8, where he discusses a question that many Achronim discuss, and it's a certain genre of putting halachic discussions, like similar to what we just did, putting halachic discussions back into the Torah. You know, what were Moshe and Aaron arguing about? What were Yosef and the brothers arguing about? Meaning, we'd like to assume that each one had a basis for what they were doing. Right? Because they were the Shiftei Ka. There was a mistake made, that's for sure. But amazed? The brothers just like were jealous and wanted to kill him? Like without any basis? So says the, all the Achronim have different suggestions. So let's see the Arugas HaBosem in source number 8. And this is also going to connect to how this story, Parshas Vayeshev, is always the Shabbos before or the Shabbos of Hanukkah. So let's see. So the Arugas HaBosem, what were they arguing about? Vayeshev Yaakov, first he quotes, Lo Shalavti, Lo Shakatiti, Lo Shalavti Be'esav, it's going to be Lavan, like we said in the beginning of the Parsha, Bikshu Yaakov Leishi B'Shalva, and he wasn't Yosef. Kafatz Alav Rogzo, Shel Yosef. Api Mashakasav HaMafarshim, Di Achiv Dinu, he quotes this from the Shlach Kadosh, Kemorid B'Malchus. The brothers knew that Yehuda was the Melech. And Yehuda was going to be the father of Malchus. And they listened to him. They knew that. You could sense that. Yehuda was their leader. Kabbalah ha'isa b'yadam sh'amalchus teisei mi'Yehuda. V'hu gavar be'echav. V'ata. And what was Yosef saying to them? Yosef was saying, everybody's going to bow down to me. I'm going to be the Melech. Ki Yosef chashav limloch. V'limshol. Ha'dekamor b'malchus beis David. Malchus beis David. The brothers all knew. What are you doing? You're ruining God's plan. God's plan is Yehuda should be the leader, and you're saying, you're sharing these prophecies. We're going to bow down to you. And Mor B'Malchus, you know, you have to get rid of. V'yalkapanem t'chilas asin al zehaya. Kiva dehevinu mechalamosav. They understood from his dreams to return a limlo for Libshah Aleihem. Then he wants to rule over them. U'be'emes, what did Yosef mean? Yosef also knew that. But Yosef said and felt his dreams were temporary rulership. Sometimes, and maybe especially, at a time when Malchus Beis David isn't yet, or it's not right now, then there could be other leaders. Lo ramzu achalamo shel Yosef al memshala gemura. The dreams were in full rule. Kiyam al memshala katana. Bizman shibud Mitzrayim. There's going to be some ruler at a time, at a temporary time. They should have realized this, but they didn't. So Yosef did not think he was more B'Malchus. He said, there's ability to have temporary rulership outside of Malchus Beis David. Even though, of course, Malchus Beis David is the ultimate. Right? That's a skip down a couple of lines. Kavanas Yosef hu shishtachava hu rak b'Mitzrayim is b'Mitzrayim katzar hazeh. Short time. Lo be'eretz Yisrael b'Malchus kavua. The brothers didn't think that. The brothers didn't think that. See, if you think about it, this is exactly the Hanukkah story and the discussion in the Rishonim relating to Hanukkah. There is Ramazim, even in Parshas Miketz. He quotes on the bottom from the Rishonim that if you switch around some of the letters and some of the words, Hanukkah, but Hanukkah always comes at this time. The Ramban in Parshas Vayechi discusses, turning over source number 9. Remember the Ramban's discussion on Lo Yosser Shevet Mi Yehuda. Right, Ramban gets very upset. How could the Chashmonoim have taken the Malchus? After all, they're Kohanim. They're not supposed to be the king. And the Ramban says they were punished for it. But all other Rishonim, the Rambam and others, don't mention anything negative about the Chashmonoim taking over during that time period. Why? They weren't Malchus based of it. There was nobody else. Maybe there's no issue when there's a temporary basis. Maybe there's no issue if it's pre, like Shaul HaMelech. So that's a connection between Yosef and his brothers and the story of Hanukkah. The story of Hanukkah is the basis for Yosef's dreams. The basis for a temporary Malchus outside of Malchus Beis David. And that's the parallel, and maybe that's another connection, why we read Hanukkah, why we read these Parshias on Hanukkah each and every year. One final thought. You have it there on the last page from Rabbi Bernstein Sefer on Hanukkah. There's a Medrash. The Medrash says that the Pach Shemen, that we found in the times of Hanukkah were bizchus the pachim ktanim that Yaakov went back for last week. The pachim ktanim and the pach shemet, same word.
Right, so what exactly is the connection between the pach shemen and the pachim ktanim? So Rabbi Bernstein says,
well, why did Yaakov go back anyway? You know, sometimes if we forget something, we'll say it's not worth it. Okay, fine, I left it there. Not going back. It's not worth my time. So why did Yaakov go back for these little jugs, these pachim ktanim?
So he explains based on the Arizal. The Arizal explains, Yaakov went back for items that others might have left behind out of conviction that no item is worthless. Everything Hashem gives me must be for a purpose. Seeing as Hashem arranged for him to own these jugs, it must be that he had them for a reason. And therefore it was out of a sense of mission that he went back for them. Hashem must have given me these to serve him with. These must be part of my avodas Hashem. So now, Rabbi Bernstein says, Yaakov fought with the Malach of Esav. What was that fight about? He went back for the pachim ktanim. So maybe Esav was fighting over this pachim ktanim, but it was for a different purpose. Esav and all those who believe like Esav, yeah, I want the pachim ktanim because I believe that's an ends in itself. Every little asset that I could get, I'll get. I want it as an ends. The fight was over those pachim ktanim. Yaakov, I want them as a means. Because Hashem must have given them to me as a means to serve him. While Esav, the fight, no. This is it. This is what it's about. The struggle between Yaakov and Esav's, with the angel looking to wear down Yaakov's sense of idealism in dealing with his physical possessions. Right? And that was the struggle. That was the fight. Until Yaakov finally won. But that's what Chanukah is about as well. The Yevanim, as we know, deified and worshipped the body and physical and Gashmi. That was their goal. They worshipped everything from their Pachim Tanim to their Pachim Gdolim. But we won. And our victory symbolized that everything we have in life is to use, to serve. Everything we have is a means. Everything we have is to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we could do that, so then we will follow in Yaakov's footsteps. And that's the Pach Shemen. The Pach Shemen is not used to my own personal purposes. It's used to light the menorah. And that's connecting back to Yaakov's Pach Shemen. Okay, we'll stop here. Bez Hashem. Next week, Bez Hashem, there will be a shir. I just don't know when. If I'm having something with my Talmidim Wednesday night, I might give it during the day. I'm not sure. But the Bez Hashem, there will be a shir at some point next week.